Let's turn to Judges chapter 16. Talked about being filled with the Spirit this morning, so this is a little bit off the beaten path from that, but it's relatable to Samson. Let me start at verse 15 of Judges 16. And this is in midstream with Delilah. And she said to him, "How can you say I love you when your heart is not with me? You have deceived me these three times and have not told me where your great strength is." It came about when she pressed him daily with her words and urged him that his soul was annoyed to death. So he told her all that was in his heart and said to her, "A razor has never come on my head, for I've been a Nazarite to God from my mother's womb. If I am shaved, then my strength will leave me, and I will become weak and be like any other man." When Delilah saw that he had told her all that was in his heart, she sent and called the lords of the Philistines, saying, "Come up once more, for he has told me all that is in his heart." Then the lords of the Philistines came up to her and brought the money in their hands. She made him sleep on her knees and called for a man and had him shave off the seven locks of his hair. Then she began to afflict him, and his strength left him. She said, "The Philistines are upon you, Samson." And he awoke from his sleep and said, "I will go out as at other times and shake myself free." But he did not know that the Lord had departed from him. Then the Philistines seized him and gouged out his eyes, and they brought him down to Gaza and bound him with bronze chains, and he was a grinder in the prison. However, the hair of his head began to grow again after it was shaved off. Now the lords of the Philistines assembled to offer a great sacrifice to Dagon, their god, and to rejoice, for they said, "Our God has given Samson, our enemy, into our hands." When the people saw him, they praised their God, for they said, "Our God has given our enemy into our hands, even this destroyer of our country, who has slain many of us." So happened when they were in high spirits that they said, "Call for Samson that he may amuse us." So they called for Samson from the prison, and he entertained them, and they made him stand between the pillars. And Samson said to the boy who was holding his hand, "Let me feel the pillars on which the house rests, that I may lean against them." Now the house was full of men and women, and all the lords of the Philistines were there. And about 3,000 men and women were on the roof, looking on while Samson was amusing them. And Samson called to the Lord and said, "O Lord God, please remember me and please strengthen me just this time, O God, that I may at once be avenged of the Philistines for my two eyes." Samson grasped the two middle pillars on which the house rested and braced himself against them, the one with his right hand and the other with his left. And Samson said, "Let me die with the Philistines." And he bent with all his might, so that the house fell on the lords and all the people who were in it. So the dead whom he killed at his death were more than those whom he killed in his life. Let's pray. Lord, Samson's a colorful figure, but notable in that you were with him as long as he was holding to his vow to be a Nazarite. And you set him apart from the womb for that. And so, Lord, we see the benefit, which we know, of having you with us and, Lord, being filled with your spirit and being under your blessing. Lord, may we learn and be those who are constantly having our cups upward to be filled with your spirit. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. We know as adults that children generally don't appreciate the blessing of being young and provided for by parents. Parents are so dumb, you know. Kids are the ones that really are the smart ones. Parents have the dumbest rules, useless, meaningless. The schedule, a curfew, things you can do, things you can't do. Eat things you have to eat, things you can't eat. So children tend to, not fully appreciate the blessing of having a home. They don't have to work. If they do work, it's often for spending money for themselves, to buy a game or whatever. You don't have to put it to anything. You don't have to pay the rent with it. They have a nice home provided for them, a kitchen full of food, exceptional cooks to prepare their food. My mom made sure I had clothes to wear. My dad worked to provide money for the family, and my mom as well. My mom made sure my clothes were washed and ironed. And no one expects a lot of children. You have low expectations. If children do amazing things that wouldn't be amazing if they were older, but if they're younger, they do amazing things. Everybody's marvels at that. Wow, look at that. Children can play outside and stay out of mom's way and gain favor with mom and with dad. People understand when children do foolish things, and they recognize, most people do, that they'll grow out of those. It won't be that way forever. And childhood is the perfect time to learn things you won't have time to learn later. Learn to play the piano, learn how to speak another language, various manual skills, athletics, hobbies. So it's a great privilege that children have in childhood, and we know by experience that it so soon passes. In spite of all that, children are eager generally to grow up and get out of the house, get their driver's license, and establish their own homes with, dare I say it, a wife or a husband. And once the license comes, life really speeds up. It's like you hit a slick spot in time and you advance very quickly to adulthood. Then we're rejoicing at graduation from high school. And then 3 months later, we're packing up a truck to drive to Columbia, South Carolina to attend Bible college and get so homesick you don't think you're going to survive not just school, but life. So you're thinking, why can't I just be back home? And that's how it goes. We often don't appreciate things until we don't have them anymore. There's a huge difference in the Holy Spirit's being upon people in the old covenant and the new covenant. And in the old covenant, the Holy Spirit came and went from people. Now, as a comparison to kids at home, really, in the new covenant, we have a much better situation. The giving of the Holy Spirit to all God's children was withheld until Jesus was glorified, but then all Christians now have the Holy Spirit, but not then. David, after he sinned with Bathsheba in Psalm 51, when he's repenting of that, pray that God would not take the Holy Spirit from him. It's not something that we need to pray as far as losing the Holy Spirit. If we are saved, we have the Holy Spirit. As I said this morning, you can quench the Spirit, you can grieve the Spirit. We are to be being kept filled with the Spirit. But the Spirit is given to all God's people. He's the earnest of our inheritance. We're born by the Spirit into the family of God. We're baptized by the Spirit into Christ. The prophets in the old covenant had a special relationship with the Spirit, and they were given prophecies. The anointing of kings was with the hope that the Spirit of God would bless their rule. They were sanctioned by God for their place of authority. And so we see a big difference today in the ministry of the Holy Spirit. It's much more widespread, And since Jesus has been glorified, all believers have the Spirit. Still, we're able to see the value from the old covenant of having the Spirit the way we do today. And in a very complex character like Samson, we would call Samson an unusual man in a lot of ways. He was a sensual man. His morality was, not great in the pure sense of the word. He had his senses rule his spirit. Sensual basically means that you are given to your senses and not to, a more objective standard. We speak about being filled with the spirit. We're talking about, God's will and being controlled not by wine. Ephesians 5:18, do not be drunk with wine, in which is dissipation, but be filled with the spirit. We're talking about control. And Samson was not really in control in those sensual areas of life. As a judge, however, he was put in his position to deliver Israel from oppressor, the oppression given by the Philistines. And Samson regularly manifested the power of the Spirit in amazing ways. I mean, from chapter 13 or chapter 14 on, we see great feats of strength by Samson because of the Spirit of God. Christians are promised to receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon us, but we aren't going to be able to take the jawbone of a donkey and wipe out the Philistine army. There's still a special case with Samson, but the same spirit. By such feats of power, a demonstration of power, by the strength of the Holy Spirit, we see the strength of God. The Holy Spirit is God. And God can do powerful things through his people by the Spirit. Now, he doesn't do the same thing in every age. The apostles had power to do miracles, signs and wonders. There were differences between the apostles and the other people. But for being filled with the Spirit, that's not an apostolic thing, that's a Christian thing that's given to everybody. So we see in Samson the power, although it is not constant. Now you'll remember in this section of Judges that Samson was finally betrayed by Delilah into giving up the secret of his strength. But really, he was strong, but not in brain power. He was with this woman who was just, repeatedly 3 times before, tricking him so she could get paid off by the Philistine lords. And did he not see that? Did he not understand that? That he kept giving out a little bit of clo little bit closer to the secret of his strength, which was his relationship with God, basically as a Nazarite. He was anointed by God. And in the favor of God, he could do the office that God had given him to do as a judge. He was a pariah to the Philistines. He was their great enemy. And a judge in those times judged oppression by getting rid of it. He stepped in to end oppression. I remember the people would disobey God, and God would deliver them. This is the book of Judges. God would deliver them. The judge, during the time the judge lived, would keep the people in line. The judge would die. The people would go right back into their sin, and they would find another oppressor that the Lord would send. And then finally they would get sick of that. They would call upon God and ask him to deliver them again. He would send another judge, and Samson is now one of those in line of that. There were others before him. So he is being tempted to give up his secret, his relationship with God. How has he maintained this great strength? And Samson had a thing for women, we know from the story, and that's not unheard of to this day. But a whiny Delilah, given money to find the secret, finally dragged it out of him. It's like somebody asked for your password to your bank account over and over and over and over and over again. Are you still going to be with them? Well, I guess in the case of Delilah, the answer was yes. As a Nazirite, Samson's hair was a sign of his favor with God and his special place in God's service. Once his hair was shaved off, he lost that relationship, that anointing, that special place, and the power of the Spirit. And as I've noted, the Spirit came and went. And when his hair was shaved, it went. And he was no longer the same person he was before. He could no longer judge like he had. Now, had he stayed, to liken it to the filling of the Spirit, if had he stayed in his proper mind and not gotten wooed away by Delilah, and really, be not d drunk with wine, he was intoxicated by Delilah's, ways. And he said, "You can't be in your right mind. You're acting drunk." He gives away his secret. What does he think she was going to do with that? So the Spirit left him. And in verse 20 that I read, she said, "The Philistines are upon you, Samson." And he awoke from his sleep and said, "I will go out as at other times and shake myself free." But he did not know that the Lord had departed from him. The hair was the outward sign. Without the outward sign, which he gave away, he lost his strength with the Lord. Now, the Philistines didn't understand the significance of his hair as the sign of his favor with God and his special place in God's service. Now, those of us who've had hair and no longer have as much, it's not the same. Having long hair is not a means to great strength. I mean, you don't, there's no connection. The connection with his hair was his relationship with God as a Nazirite. And so the Philistines figured, and they had good cause to, that now that Samson was blinded, enslaved, put to labor in the prison, his threat was over. They had won. And God's purpose for him in judging Israel and relieving them of the oppressor, which was the Philistines, there was no longer a danger in that. So they were drunk too. And Judges 16, verse 22 said, "However, the hair of his head began to grow again after it was shaved off." So they foolishly let it grow back. They didn't understand. Delilah mentioned that his hair, it was shaved off, he'd be like other people. They got on that. They did that. They found that it worked. But then they didn't keep it up. There's not a direct application to Christian experience in this example of Samson. As I said, the Holy Spirit will not be taken from us. We don't have to pray that. We have to be faithful to God. And I mentioned that the picture of being filled with the Spirit is not to go out and get something you don't have, to find something or to get God, who is stingy, to give it up when we want it, to speak in tongues, to seek a second blessing of grace, the baptism of the Spirit, which we all get when we're saved. All these things that people talk about, going to some service where some mighty man of God is proclaiming the Spirit's power and healing and miracles and all that stuff. That's just, folly, a superstition. The sign is, not the issue here. There's nothing, connecting those things that we could lose the Spirit of God. We just have to maintain our relationship. And if we maintain our relationship, we will be filled with the Spirit of God. And if we, as we maintain that, we will grow stronger in the grace of God and be called those who are full of the Spirit, we would trust. And we can grieve the Spirit and quench the Spirit by turning our cup away from the flow that we must mend. But we certainly cannot do that perpetually. The nature of being a Christian is that we will to do God's will, to will and to do of His good pleasure. And that will be borne out by our lives. There are people who make a decision, raise a hand, whatever. They never really engage in being filled with the Spirit or have the Spirit at all because they never came to a point of true repentance and faith. But those who are Christians can't lose that. There's that constant flow. God is graciously willing. God wants us to be full of the Spirit. God wants us to be filled with the Spirit. God doesn't want us to grieve the Spirit, quench the Spirit. So we're on solid ground when we turn to God from anything that would hinder His blessing of us. We're dominated by the Spirit of God. That's what we're to aim for. As we think the things of God and do His will. Now, when Samson first sought a Philistine bride, we're told in chapter 14 that the Lord was seeking an occasion through Samson. Now, the Lord has the ability to do this. Men make, mistakes. And to get a Philistine bride, that's not going to be approved. His parents didn't like it. But we're told about it in Judges 14, verse 1. Then Samson went down to Timnah and saw a woman in Timnah, one of the daughters of the Philistines. So he came back and told his father and mother, "I saw a woman in Timnah, one of the daughters of the Philistines. Now therefore, get her for me as a wife." Then his father and his mother said to him, "Is there no woman among the daughters of your relatives? Or among all our people, that you go to take a wife from the uncircumcised Philistines?" But Samson said to his father, "Get her for me, for she looks good to me." Now, he sounds like a really deep individual, right? However, we're told, verse 4, his father and mother did not know that it was of the Lord, for he was seeking an occasion against the Philistines. Now, at that time, the Philistines were ruling over Israel. So the Lord meant it for good, basically. Even though, the the Bible's not doesn't state here that Samson was in on that plan. Samson was he she looks good to me. Would you get her for me? She's pretty, that kind of thing. And but in the Lord's plan, yeah, okay, he got a way to get to the Philistines this way. The Lord, of course, can do it directly, but he uses people. So the people he uses, he maneuvers in there to do his will as he sees fit. So Samson, all his feats of strength, he now has an inroads into the Philistines. And they, of course, oppose that. And in the end, they were gloating about their victory over Samson. Now, again, one thing we know as people who believe in the sovereignty of God is that God is going to complete his plan. Samson's foolishness, Samson's sensuality, things that Samson did that would not be in the normal course of what we would expect of a servant of God. In the end, the Philistines, targeted by God, who sent a judge to overcome their oppression because of the mercies of the Lord, they could not stop that from happening. And you see the final act, if you look in the text again, in verse 23 of Judges 16, he says, "The lords of the Philistines assembled to offer a great sacrifice to Dagon, their god, and to rejoice, for they said, 'Our God has given Samson, our enemy, into our hands.'" Now, you see, do not be drunk with wine. And I mentioned this morning, the most popular, most common drunkenness is of the mind. And people will never be arrested for it. You can drive with it without any problem. But the drunkenness of the mind is being unaware, like you would be unaware of things if you're drunk, of reality. That they just don't get the facts. They're doing things that are foolish. So in their minds, they believe that Dagon has delivered Samson into their hands. So they're having a feast, a sacrifice to Dagon. Dagon had nothing to do with it because Dagon does not exist. They identified their God as Dagon. And so they praised Dagon. But this is drunkenness of the mind. I mean, the same as you know, if you say Allah did this or that, or Kali did this or that in India. It's drunkenness of the mind. Or to say that, we came about by, chance. The world was made by a big bang. All these things are evidence of drunkenness. And the Lord has cleared our minds up from that. But here in Philistia, they got it in full. They're drinking there, but they're also got their mind drunkenness that they brought in with them. So they believe Dagon's responsible. Verse 24, when the people saw him, they praised their God, for they said, "Our God has given our enemy into our hands, even the destroyer of our country, who has slain many of us." Well, isn't Dagon a great God? He has been able to do what nobody else could do. He brought down Samson. Of course, we know who brought Samson down was Samson, with Delilah's help. So they're all enamored by Dagon, but they're drunk. It so happened when they were in high spirits, now they got the double drunkenness, that they said, "Call for Samson that he may amuse us." So they called for Samson from the prison. He entertained them, and they made him stand between the pillars. Another not smart thing to do. They didn't notice his hair and did not remember that Samson with two hands on pillars, no, not gonna be good. So they positioned him. Samson said to the boy who was holding his hand, "Let me feel the pillars on which the house rests, that I may lean against them." The boy, also not knowing what's going on, complied. Now the house was full of men and women. All the lords of the Philistines were there. About 3,000 men and women were on the roof, looking on while Samson was amusing them. They're having a big day for Dagon. And then Samson called to the Lord and said, "O Lord God, please remember me and please strengthen me just this time, O God, that I may at once be avenged of the Philistines for my two eyes." So he grasped the two middle pillars on which the house rested and braced himself against them, the one with his right hand and the other with his left. And Samson said, "Let me die with the Philistines." And he bent with all his might, so that the house fell on the lords and all the people who were in it. So the dead whom he killed at his death were more than those whom he killed in his life. And if you took a pencil or a pen there and just traced it back to chapter 14, where the Lord was seeking an occasion against the Philistines, and it came to completion there. Oh, while they were praising their God. I guess a good sermon you can make out of this was, where did Dagon go? Dagon was all there getting pumped up, and what happened to Dagon? He brought the house down on the whole crowd. The power of the Holy Spirit upon us and his filling of us will accomplish powerful things of a different character than Samson's doing. We're told that we're to walk in the Spirit and not fulfill the lust of the flesh, that we will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon us and be God's witnesses. We must understand that unless we abide in the vine, we can do nothing. Having the Holy Spirit produces walking in the Spirit. We have gifts of the Spirit. We have fruit of the Spirit. We have the hope given to us by the Spirit. We have the enlightenment given by the Spirit of God. The scriptures are inspired by the Spirit of God. And the display of the Spirit's power in us is not going to be for signs and wonders and tongues and healings. I'm all for that if people would just do it. And if they could do it, they wouldn't go outside of town and set up a tent and have people come out there. I mean, if I had that gift, I would go up to the hospital and clear that out. Our work in the Spirit, our filling of the Spirit, our fullness of the Spirit is a walk in victory and fruitfulness in labor that is blessed by the Spirit. That is how we are able to, successfully bear fruit in our character, in our ministry, never to be dependent upon ourselves and on our own power to consider anything done from our own strength. Even our Lord Jesus, who is himself God, accomplished mighty works by the Spirit. Matthew 3:16, after being baptized, Jesus came up immediately from the water, and behold, the heavens were opened, and he saw the Spirit of God descending as a dove and lighting on him. And behold, a voice out of the heavens said, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." And so right after that, it says Jesus was led by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. Luke 4:1 says, "Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit, returned from the Jordan and was led around by the Spirit in the wilderness." Full of the Spirit. The Spirit also empowered our Lord Jesus. Although he himself was able to do all these things in his own deity. Jesus said in Matthew 12:28, but if I cast out demons by the Spirit of God, then the kingdom of God has come upon you. John the Baptist testified, I did not recognize him, John 1:31. But so that he might be manifested to Israel, I came baptizing in water. And John testified, saying, I have seen the Spirit descending as a dove out of heaven, and he remained upon him. I did not recognize him. But he who sent me to baptize in water said to me, He upon whom you see the Spirit descending and remaining upon him, he is the one who baptizes in the Holy Spirit. I myself have seen and have testified that this is the Son of God. And as I said earlier, there are a lot of quacks that talk about the Spirit of God, some kind of magical force, even an impersonal force, some would say. But Jesus, whereas John baptized with water as a sign of repentance, to believe on the one coming after, which was Jesus, that Jesus baptized in the Holy Spirit. And once he was glorified, all believers received the Spirit of God. So being filled with the Spirit is maintaining a relationship with the Lord. It's something as we've already been given. It's not something we go on a quest to get or seek some sort of ecstatic experience to get. It's something that we today, this week, day to day, are able to maintain in the Spirit's fullness because we are submitted to God and obedient to His will. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you that you've not called us to our own strength. Samson was a strong man, but he was strong because of the Holy Spirit. And I pray, Lord, we would also have the strength of the Spirit and be mindful and led by you and your mercy upon us to be being kept filled with the Spirit of God, to have the proper mindset, the proper submission, the proper confession, that we, Lord, as your people, would in a different way, but in many ways a more widespread and significant way than Samson, be your servants to remove oppression from those whom the devil has held captive to do his will. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.